I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Oprah Winfrey hosts one of the most successful programs in modern media, but will that translate into success as owner of a cable network? Later, we will hear from another woman who has already done it, Sheila Johnson, the co-founder of BET, Black Entertainment Television, and this country's other African-American female billionaire, will be with us in just a few minutes. But first to the never-ending debate over health care reform. When President Obama signed the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act into law last March, he and his supporters claimed it as a huge victory, the first significant advance in extending health care to all Americans since the 1960s. But the fight about whether that was the right thing to do, the best approach, and most importantly, how to pay for it, continues. Here's the new House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in an interview with NPR's Julie Rovner.
You will see the Republican-led House put a bill across the floor that will call for a full repeal of the Obama health care bill. That will be one of the first things that we will do.
Holding true to that promise, a procedural vote is expected tomorrow with a full vote next week. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from a former senior health economist for a congressional committee who has ideas on what could replace the current health care overhaul, if it comes to that. But first, we turn to Mary Agnes Carey, a senior correspondent with Kaiser Health News. That's an independent program within the Kaiser Family Foundation. And I do want to emphasize it's not affiliated with Kaiser Permanente Health Care Company. And she's with us now. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Help us understand the Republican repeal effort. Do they want an entire repeal of the entire law, or are there specific factors within it that they're particularly concerned about?
They would love to repeal the entire law, but that's not going to happen. The bills, the measure for repeal is expected to pass the House and be stopped in the Senate. So without that full repeal happening, they will love to go after different provisions, the individual mandate, for example. They're going to go after funding of the bill for appropriations. They're going to have a lot of oversight, members of Congress committees having federal officials up and questioning them a lot about the implementation of the law.
So it's a multi-pronged attack on the law. Can you just give us the top three? We don't have time to go into the whole issue, but just give us maybe their top three priorities in trying to open up a sort of a front and chipping away at the law.
I think they'll absolutely go after the funding stream, because if they can't stop the bill, they want to choke off the money for it. They'll go after the individual mandate, this requirement that most Americans have health insurance by 2014 or they'll have to pay a fine. And I think that they will also talk a lot about all the different requirements that may be in the law, the minimum benefits package, what are people going to be required to buy, the financing for it. I think that another provision here, one that they'll absolutely go after, and they may get some Democratic support, is something called the 1099. That is a requirement that if you buy more than $600 of goods or services from a vendor, you've got to give the IRS a form, a 1099 form. Small business hates this. They think it's onerous. It's too expensive. Democrats hate it. Republicans hate it. The president wants
to
get rid of it.
What's the point of it? That's not health care specific. The point
of
it is
to raise
money.
No, but it's a revenue raiser. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so if you get rid of it, you've got to fill that hole. It's about $17 to $19 billion over the next decade.
Well, is there an area that if it does go away, it's like the house of cards. If there's something that you pull out from that house of cards,
right,
it brings the rest of the house down.
Most analysts say it's the individual mandate, because the fear is if you don't require people to get coverage, they'll wait until they get sick to get in. You won't have the healthy people to balance out the sicker people.
Now, you've said that this is very unlikely to happen. Why is that?
Because they don't have the votes in the Senate. The Democrats still control the Senate. And President Obama has said, even if it survived the Senate, I'll veto it. And neither chamber has the two-thirds majority to override that veto. But that said, it's something that Republicans want to pursue. It appeals to the base. It appeals to the Tea Partiers. They feel they have a political mandate to go after the law and repeal it. But Democrats are going to come right back at them and say repeal will mean that seniors no longer get help with their prescription drugs when they fall into something called the donut hole. Insurers will allow to go back to canceling health insurance once you get sick, unless you've committed fraud. You'll take away a lot of elements of the law that have been put into place that Democrats and proponents of the law think will be very popular.
Well, to that point, though, are there parts of the law that are currently in effect, and do we have any sense of whether it is working? I mean, you've laid out for us that Republicans will focus on, are likely to focus on, what they call the job-killing aspects, regulations that make it harder for people to invest or unlikely to invest in the economy and to build jobs. Democrats will say, but look at the benefits of what are being accomplished here.
Right.
Is there any evidence on either side that's compelling at this point, since many provisions of the law don't go into effect for years?
Well, it's hard to judge, because a lot of the ideas, the elements, for example, keeping your child on your policy till age 26, it went into effect for plan years starting after September 23rd. But for a lot of us, our health plan renews January the 1st. So you have to keep your eye to see how those play out and the public public acceptance or whatever of those. But there's other elements that have been in play. For example, there's been great interest in a program to help companies pay for their early retirees. These are people who maybe at 55, they want to retire, but they don't qualify for Medicare for 10 years. There's going to be some federal assistance with that. A lot of companies have applied for that. There's been a lot of interest in the small business tax credits that are out there. But there's been high-risk pools that have been designed, in theory, to help people who've been without coverage, and you have to be without coverage for at least 6 months. The enrollment in that is way below what's predicted. It's only been about 8,000. So that hasn't turned out yet as well as proponents would like.
And finally, Mary Agnes, you talked about the politics of this. I'm interested in how this is playing out around the country with the voters. I mean, the Republicans in the House particularly have said they have a mandate to repeal this. Do you agree? I mean, do voters beyond the Republican base agree? How do the American people feel about this healthcare overhaul to this point?
Well, this is what's so complicated about it. It's about evenly divided. 50% say they want the law to stay. 50% said they want the law to be repealed. But then when you ask people who want the law to be repealed, go down to specific provisions, helping, again, seniors with Medicare prescription drugs or giving people of low to moderate income subsidies to purchase coverage or the small business tax credits, people like that. The one element everyone seems to hate is the individual mandate.
Mary Agnes Carey is a senior correspondent with Kaiser Health News. I do want to emphasize again, it is not affiliated with Kaiser Permanente, the health care company. She joined us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Mary Agnes, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.